You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, if you've got a smart speaker, just tell it to play podcast Locked On Saints to tune into the newest episodes. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst over at All Saints Considered. And as always, I like to start off every episode with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. So whether it's your first time or your next time, know that I love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, articles, and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And for today's episode, we are going to talk about Aaron Glenn. To start it off, Aaron Glenn is getting yet another coaching interview for defensive coordinator position with the Cincinnati Bengals. He is the third Saints coach that the Bengals have interviewed. We'll talk about what that means for Aaron Glenn and the New Orleans Saints. And then we'll finish up our position by position free agency outlook by looking at the safeties. Certainly one of the most fruitful position groups in the 2019 free agency class. And then we'll wrap it up by taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league. All that and a little bit of land yap right here on Locked On Saints. All right, y'all, welcome in for today's episode. This is a wonderful Friday before the weekend. Remember, I'm coming to you every Monday through Friday, so I won't have any more episodes Saturday or Sunday, but I'll be right back with you on Monday to keep you up to date with everything that happened over the weekend and what's going on looking ahead into the following week. So for today, I want to talk about Aaron Glenn. So Aaron Glenn is now the third Saints coach to be interviewed by the Cincinnati Bengals for the defensive coordinator position, since he also had their eyes on Dennis Allen until he signed the extension in New Orleans, and we're also looking at linebacker coach Mike Nolan, who has extensive defensive coordinator experience with seven different teams, was also the head coach of the 49ers for 3.5 seasons from 2005 to 2008. Aaron Glenn now being on the Bengals radar makes sense, though he's not been a defensive coordinator before. He certainly packs all the credentials to be given a shot, played 15 years in the NFL as a defensive back, including his final year in 2008 with the Saints, and has been coaching in New Orleans as the defensive backs coach since 2016 after spending time as the assistant DB coach in Cleveland for a couple of years. Glenn's helped to drastically shift the Saints secondary and its defense away from its historic failures of 2014 and 2015. Also struggled a lot in 2016, his first year, but then really picked it up after that. And he's been a big time part of training up some of the premier young talent in the league with Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams. The turnarounds that they have had, that have taken place mid 2017 and 18 have had a lot to do with a shift in secondary play, and the Saints would more than certainly miss Glenn if he were to leave. But the unfortunate truth is that it's not really a matter of if, but when it comes to Aaron Glenn. Look, if he plans to seek out a coordinator job, he'll be on his way out of New Orleans in the near future, certainly within 3 years, with Allen having signed that extension. There's just really not that much hope for advancement in the near future unless Allen were to be fired. But because he's done such a good job in his position, good enough to earn the extension in the first place, it's unlikely that they'd move on from Allen anytime soon, especially mid-contract or mid-season. You can't be mad at Aaron Glenn for checking out other offers and everything, and likewise, you can't be mad at him if he takes one, but it would certainly leave a hole in the Saints coaching staff that would need to be filled. Tom Pelissero reported that, along with Glenn, another NFL DB coach, Aubrey Pleasant of the LA Rams, is expected to interview for the Bengals job, along with defensive coordinators from colleges Texas A&M and Florida, as well as the Atlanta Falcons. So there's a big crop being interviewed for it, if you combine that with the other crop that was interviewed beforehand. So look, it may not be Glenn's time just yet, but this is becoming a yearly potential coach poach, with Glenn having interviewed for the Patriots job last year. If the Saints lose Aaron Glenn, Pleasant, as well as other coaches around the league, would certainly be brought in and they'd get the call as they look to bring in someone with experience as opposed to hiring up an assistant like they did with Glenn when he was hired. But in addition, the Saints could also look to bring on more veteran players in the secondary that can be coached, but don't necessarily need to be coached up. So we'll talk about who some of those veteran candidates are coming up next right here on the other side of this break, because we're going to look at the safety safeties to close out our position by position fantasy outlook. Free agency outlook. And there's a ton of veteran safeties out there that the Saints could potentially bring in, not only to compete with, let's say, Von Bell to put opposite Marcus Williams. Certainly they'll be able to compete with Kurt Coleman, which shouldn't be that hard. But you get what I'm saying. There could be, you know, there's a lot of veterans out there that are going to be brought in or can be brought into Saints camp to compete with Kurt Coleman, that could potentially compete with Von Bell to bring Von Bell back to that Joker role, which really isn't a competition. It's kind of two different positions and everything. So it would help Von Bell get more comfortable. So we'll talk about who some of those candidates are. And then, of course, we'll take a look at some of the big stories from around the league. But we'll start off with those safeties coming up right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So as the basketball world clears its dust from the whirlwind of the trade deadline, don't forget to check out Jake Madison over at Locked On Pelicans. The Pelicans made a couple of trade deadline moves, but not the one that you would expect with Anthony Davis. They also announced in a press release that Anthony Davis will continue to play the 2018-2019 season with the New Orleans Pelicans, which is a weird choice. But if you want to hear more information on that, details and takes on that, make sure you check out Jake Madison over at Locked On Pelicans and follow Jake on Twitter at NolaJake. All right, welcome back, Houdat Nation. To close out our position-by-position free agency outlook, we're going to take a look at the safeties. The Saints are maintaining their starting core for the most part, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. But there are some key pieces set to potentially hit the market. The Saints are primarily in good position here, and I'll explain why. But the big question that looms is whether or not Kurt Coleman is going to be the guy that the Saints trust heading into the 2019 season, or if they're going to be looking for other potential free agents to seek out, which in this year's crop of free agents, the safety position is stacked. So let's take a look at who's staying in New Orleans. That, of course, would be Marcus Williams, Von Bell, and Kurt Coleman, as well as JT Gray, who was signed to a futures and reserve contract. So he'll be on the 90-man roster come training camp. Unrestricted free agent, only one, but it's Chris Banjo. We'll talk about why that's important. And then the only exclusive rights free agent for the Saints in the safety position is Ricky Jefferson, who did end his, well, really began his year on injured reserve. Now, the reason why I say that the Saints are in good position here is because they're maintaining Marcus Williams and Von Bell, and they have the option to maintain Kurt Coleman as well, but we'll talk more about Kurt Coleman here in a second. Let's talk about Marcus Williams. Marcus Williams went from an outstanding rookie year with potential Pro Bowl pedigree to something that looked more like a work in progress at the beginning of 2018, being a part of a unit that had given up the most passing yards to the first few games in the league, as well as giving up over 400 passing yards to a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led division rival Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a heartbreaking home opener for the season. There was so much hype around Marcus Williams and his revenge tour after the Minneapolis Miracle, but I think that that all overshadowed the fact that he was entering only his second year in the league. Toward the back end of the season, he settled in more. He didn't have the turnover numbers that he had last season with only 2 interceptions as compared to 4 last year, but he did also cause a key fumble against the Falcons when he got one of the fastest recorded sacks ever recorded, since such a stat has ever been recorded, at least. Williams will look to come into 2019 and live up to that Pro Bowler expectation this time around. He did well in the latter portion of the season, helping to eliminate deep passes that plagued the team in the early going. Williams continues to be an interesting offseason storyline for the second season in a row. Von Bell, on the other hand, did play great this year as well. I mean, they both played great, but Von Bell really kind of stepped his game up, being one of the more continually improved pieces on the defense. He's been improving in coverage against tight ends and receiving backs, and he also found time to hold his own against receivers in the slot from time to time throughout the 2018 season, responsible for only two touchdowns this season as compared to 5 his rookie year, according to Pro Football Focus. He's one of Dennis Allen's most trusted tools as a blitzer, getting pressure around the secondary or around the edge from the secondary type guy, and he'll have a spot in New Orleans as long as he can continue to improve both of those areas, as he's already been strong in run support. Now, Kurt Coleman. Kurt Coleman's days may be limited in New Orleans already. Almost as soon as they began, they could be coming to an end. After only 1 year, he saw his playtime diminish to literal nothingness by the end of the season and the playoffs. He just wasn't a good fit for the system and couldn't really seem to find a way to make it work on either end. The Saints would save about $4 million if they cut Coleman, which might be a beneficial move considering some of the available replacements that will be out there. Unrestricted free agent Chris Banjo has been a big-time player on special teams for the Saints, Saints while also being able to step into the shoes that Kurt Coleman wasn't able to adequately fill a couple times throughout the year. The Saints will likely look to bring Banjo back unless they land one of the three guys that I'm going to be talking about next in particular. Finally, Ricky Jefferson. He's a hometown dude, and he ended up on injured reserve after an ACL injury, so he'll be an exclusive rights guy that the Saints might as well bring in at the beginning of camp. All right, so now we get to the free agent pool. And again, like I said, this has some of the best, this is the position really that has some of the best free agents out there. Kenny Vaccaro entering back in there, Jimmy Ward coming into free agency, Earl Thomas, LaMarcus Joyner. I'm only going to talk about three in particular, so we might as well start with the two that I know that every Saints fan wants, because you have to be crazy not to. Let's start with Landon Collins of the New York Giants. Collins is set to hit free agency, and to be honest, he's probably the best available safety this year. His play since his days in Alabama, when the hometown guy broke all of Louisiana's heart by selecting the Crimson Tide, has been outstanding, and he's continued to play at a high level in the NFL. He now has a chance to make it up to the entire state of Louisiana by considering the Saints in free agency, though it'll never really be about that. Collins just plain would be a good fit here as a roaming safety that gets to fly around the field, lay big hits, and make plays, things that he has always excelled at throughout his time. The 2016 first team All-Pro and three-time Pro Bowler will definitely have 31, potentially all 32 teams if the Giants continue to want to re-sign him, calling if he hits free agency for sure. And the Saints will need to make a big push for him, and will need to make it interesting, because if there is any type of potential of getting Landon Collins to the Saints, it's not going to be about the money, because they don't have the cap space to entice him. He's coming out of his rookie contract and will likely demand a ton of money, not to mention that there could still be some bad blood between he and recently added cornerback Eli Apple, who he referred to, Landon Collins did, as a cancer in New York. Now, a winning culture changes mentalities like that, and Eli Apple has certainly played his best once he hits the field for New Orleans, so perhaps a newfound respect between the two former teammates can be found. Now, second on my list here, Tyrann Mathieu, who, like, would have to be the other favorite for Saints fans. Also a hometown guy. Everyone expected the Saints to pursue him in last year's offseason, but apparently they didn't make the call because they had already spent so much money to bring in Kurt Coleman. Not sure that he would even hit free agency in the first place. So he went on to sign a 1-year, $7 million deal with the Texans, and he played there for 2018. He loved playing with the team, and he's made it obvious that he hopes to return. But if the team decides to go another direction, the Saints should absolutely pursue Mathieu and get him back to New Orleans. His play style would work extremely well in Dennis Allen's system, as he fits the bill as a versatile safety that can play deep, in the slot, and in the box. He'd be a key chess piece to lessen the pressure on Von Bell and Marcus Williams. Now, lastly, one of my favorite fits here is the LA Chargers' Adrian Phillips. This is who I was referring to when I mentioned that, you know, not needing to retain Banjo if one of these three safeties was signed. This is the guy. Phillips is a big physical safety that can also play down in the box. He's solid in run support as well, and also adds his special teams talents to the bill. The Pro Bowl special teamer could come to New Orleans cheaper than the other two guys and would make an impact in multiple elements of the game on defense and special teams. Pairing he and Justin Hardy as gunners in punt coverage would just be unfair to the rest of the league. Add then special teams coach Dan Rizzi to the equation, and it's just ridiculous. He's not a big takeaway guy with only 5 interceptions through as many years, but is a reliable tackler, notching 94 as a safety last year. Some of those came on special teams as well, not to mention being named as a Pro Bowler and first team All-Pro in 2018 is certainly no fluke. So the Saints are actually looking pretty good at this position, not only because they're maintaining their core starters in Von Bell and Marcus Williams, but also because they have an ability to make a roster trim here that would save them some money in Kurt Coleman. And there is a big time pool of free agents. I didn't even go into all of them. Like I said, Jimmy Ward would be an excellent fit for the Saints as well, would be cheap. And then there's also LaMarcus Joyner. There's a lot of other safeties out there as well. But Adrian Phillips is probably my favorite fit, along with, of course, either Landon Collins or Tyrann Mathieu. You can't be mad at either one of those wearing black and gold. So it'll be exciting to see what the Saints do at this position. There's also a really deep, not a really deep, let me not say it that way, but there's an excellent safety draft class as well that the Saints could also dig into. So they're at a pretty good position here at the safety spot. So we'll see exactly what it is that they do. So this has been my free agency outlook. We'll continue to update this sort of as new information hits. We are getting to the point now to where, you know, teams are already starting to make trims, roster trims, and everything that we saw Robert Robert Alford become a cap casualty. He's been signed now over in Arizona. And so there's, you know, these things are already starting and underway. So we'll see exactly what it is that the Saints do. And we'll catch up on a little bit of those other pieces of news right here on the other side, taking a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back. Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now for us to take a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league. Going a little unconventional here, my homie, the good friend over at Locked On Bucks, David Harrison, sent me an article from Commercial Appeal. AAF is ready to start its kickoff. They're getting, they're getting started. There are no kickoffs in the AAF, but they are starting off this weekend. And so he sent me this article about the quote-unquote sky judge. Now, it's been a little while since we've talked about the no call against the Los Angeles Rams. I think it's a good time to bring this up, considering what the AAF is doing to sort of help counteract that kind of thing happening in their league. You know, doing something that the NFL probably should have done a long time ago and still sort of seems on the fence about doing. The AAF is 100% going for it. They've added a seventh person to the officiating crew that will, quote unquote, serve as an eye in the sky of sorts. They'll be able to be in the press box and can instantly correct obvious and egregious officiating errors. Now, this is coming directly from Charlie Ebersole, the co-founder and CEO of the AAF. And they had said that he, you know, had always sort of had the idea about doing this or adding someone to the officiating crew. But in particular, once everything happened with the Saints and the Rams, they went ahead and said, let's do it. And then they just pushed for it. So basically, you have another official that's up in the press box and able to review, make sure that everything is set and everything is, you know, that there are no egregious calls, nothing out of place, things like that. And then they can also review pass interference within 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, correct errors and things like that. So the sky judge is going to be somebody with real-time technology that is used to correct those kinds of errors involving player safety, of course, at any time. And then, of course, like I said, defense or pass interference inside of 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. So as a standalone piece of news, that's interesting. But the other interesting part just kind of becomes about what the NFL is going to do in response to this, especially if it works. That's where I am most interested. If this really goes off without a hitch in the AAF and the NFL doesn't adopt the same idea, sort of like they did, like, you know, they sort of took the presentational stylism from the XFL and then added that to the NFL. So here's a good chance to really sort of further the league if this works for the AAF. So it'll be interesting to see how the NFL responds and if they are willing to make the same types of strides to help improve player safety and guarantee that egregious calls, lacked calls, things, no calls, all of that don't end up, you know, settling or changing the course of a game in the final minutes of a contest. Now, we were talking about cap casualties earlier. Robert Alford, released by the Atlanta Falcons, was signed by the Cardinals to a 3-year deal. I kind of talked about that, but I want you to know it's a 3-year deal over there. $22.5 million contract there. So if that was somebody that you were looking forward to, the Saints potentially trying out as a Saints fan, sorry. 3 years, $22.5 million. Don't need to pay that much for a corner in New Orleans. The Buccaneers continue to look for a kicker, much like the Chicago Bears, bringing in people from all over the place to contest. And this time, the Bucs went ahead and brought up Philip Andersen, who is a Danish kicker from the German league. So, you know, they had some kicking troubles. We experienced that in, you know, just watching the Saints games against the Buccaneers I can't remember the other kicker's name, but they had some troubles with him. And so now they're bringing in a Danish kicker from the German league to get an opportunity for competition there at the kicker position. Now, Kyler Murray is expected to attend the scouting combine. Those of you that are quarterback fans and like seeing good quarterback play, Kyler Murray is one of the most exciting prospects in the NFL draft, especially at the quarterback position. He's considered widely the number one quarterback. If you're not a Dwayne Haskins fan, sometimes it's kind of just between those two. He'll certainly be a lot of fun to watch at the combine. And finally, just a couple of other roster moves. The Falcons continue to trim for cap space, releasing veteran defensive end Brooks Reed, and the Chiefs GM says he's excited about bringing back Dee Ford. So Dee Ford is scheduled to hit free agency next month, but doesn't sound like he's going to be going anywhere outside of that Kansas City Chiefs jersey. So all right, that's going to do it for me today, everybody. Make sure you tune in next week. We are going to be jumping around and looking at sort of position by position reviews throughout the Saints season, 2018 season, and looking forward to what I think I might expect from the team and from those positions throughout next year. Now, one other exciting thing that I want to do next week, and that I'm going to try to do next week, if not the week after, is doing a couple of live mock drafts with the Locked On Saints Facebook group. So go ahead and make sure this weekend that you join the Locked On Saints Facebook group on Facebook, just Locked On Saints group. Join in. We'll go ahead and get you approved. That way you can take part. I'm going to do several drafts, just sort of do a live one there, and then I'll cut the audio from it and then share it with everybody else that didn't get the chance to participate and everything, so that they can hear multiple mock drafts that we'll do with you Locked On Saints listeners, the true fans that are out there. So thank you so much, everybody, for coming through once again. I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Make sure you tell all your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And please take some time to review and drop a rating. It helps a lot. Make sure you tell your smart speakers to play podcast Locked On Saints. Listen to the newest episodes and be sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you for all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. Yeah. I'll holla at you.
Hey everyone, Jake Madison here, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Basketball season is upon us and big things are in store for the Pelicans after making the playoffs last year. Keep up with everything going on around Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and the rest of the team with the daily Locked On Pelicans podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.